Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
She may have had to commit chemical warfare against her own body to temporarily chemically sterilize herself so that she can have her position as a news broadcaster or as an elected official.
I'm a Christian today, Todd, not because it works for me. That's the last reason. There are many days when it doesn't even seem to work for me. There's many days when I wish I could take a shortcut like I used to when I was a non-believer. I'm a Christian today because it is true.
The experience isn't going to save. What's going to save is that word of forgiveness that Christ died even for you in your lowest point.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
This is unexpected. I don't think anyone really expected it. Both of these countries have legalized same-sex marriage. France, a while ago. Great Britain, just yesterday, the Queen signed into law a bill that would allow same-sex marriage to be legal in Britain and Wales, I believe. And yet the opposition came from the allegedly more enlightened, more forward-thinking, more avant-garde France. So what is the difference between Britain and France on the issue of same-sex marriage? Dr. Jennifer Robach-Morris will be joining us here in the first part of this hour to answer that question on this Thursday afternoon, July the 18th. A little bit later, we'll be looking at Ezekiel the prophet, in particular, the relationship of his prophecy to the book of Revelation, and Ezekiel's being remembered on Sunday this week, July the 21st. We'll get a little jump on that on this Thursday afternoon. Dr. Jennifer Robach-Morris is a regular guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering whether or not this is my little theory, and I wonder if you agree, that the French opposition to same-sex marriage is kind of parallel to what we see in the United States, where the heartland, so to speak, of France came out in droves against same-sex marriage. Grandparents, parents, young people, you name it. While the kind of Parisians were all scratching their head wondering what everyone was so worried about. Do we have our version of the Parisians here in the United States, kind of the urban elites?
Well, there's no question that the ruling classes of the Western democracies have decided that we're going to have gay marriage, you know, and they can't figure out what all the fuss is about with the common people resisting it. And so France is the most remarkable situation where so many people came out. You know, we had no idea there was such a groundswell and such a reservoir of support for the idea that kids need a mother and a father. And when you think about it, it actually makes sense, you know, that kids do need their own mother and their own father. Kids do need that, and we shouldn't be surprised that people feel that. But yeah, France fooled us all by coming forward with over a million people in the streets, not once, not twice, but four times, rallying for natural marriage.
What is your reaction to Queen Elizabeth, who is being portrayed in the press? It's always coming with the line, you know, she's no social experimenter, she's no social radical, and if she signs a same-sex marriage bill in Britain, then it must be mainstream.
Well, it means nothing at all. It means nothing at all. I mean, the Queen's a figurehead, you know. I mean, when was the last time the Queen failed to sign something? I mean, I don't follow British politics, but it seems to me that's not a very common occurrence that the Queen vetoes things by not signing things. So I don't. You know, I mean, it's good. It's good theater that the sexual radicals can have her on their side, so to speak. But you know, the Queen hasn't been an independent force in British politics since Queen Elizabeth, as far as I know. I mean, the first Queen Elizabeth.
What is how would you characterize it? It seems as though I think this is the way it's going to be portrayed long term, that the United States is kind of trailing, kind of lagging behind the rest of the world on this particular issue. That's how it's going to be portrayed. What is your response to it?
Oh, my goodness. Those Yanks, you know, they're so slow. They're always behind the curve. You know, those Americans are so religious. That's what their problem is. I mean, that's what the storyline's going to be. But honestly, Todd, if you look a little bit further ahead, the reality is that the fallout from the sexual revolution is going to continue to build. You know, we haven't really taken responsibility for the last round of social experimentation that we did on small children, no-fault divorce, cohabitation, out-of-wedlock childbearing, all that good stuff that has been such a mess for people. Really, truly, when people look back on us 100 years from now, I think what they're going to say is that the only people who could see how this was going to end were the people of faith. The people of faith were the only ones who had the foresight to see that this was going to end badly and who had the fortitude to stand up to it. That, I think, is what is going to be the ultimate legacy. I think people, including the children of same-sex couples, a lot of them are going to will one day say, "Mom, what were you thinking? What were you thinking that I would never need a dad? You know, what were you guys thinking?" And that, I think, is going to be a legacy.
That seems to be part of the concerns that were expressed in those waves of protests in France. People kind of thinking not just about today, but about a generation from now. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's exactly right. You know, one of the most moving things that I saw was a speech by a Vietnamese boy who had been adopted by a lesbian couple. Of course, this is all in French. My friend Robert Oscar Lopez translates this stuff on his blog. He's got a blog where this is the guy who was himself raised by two women, and he's fluent in seven languages, and so he has tracked this goings on in France pretty carefully. And so one of the most moving things was this young man, 17-year-old Vietnamese adoptee, saying, you know, look, we have a duty to the orphan. The orphan's mother placed him in the orphanage because she could not take care of him, and she wanted him to have a mother and a father. She entrusted the orphan. She entrusted her child to the orphanage to see to that need of the child, the need for a mother and a father. And it's an injustice to the child to not give them that. So I thought that was very powerful and very moving, and that's the kind of thing that you were getting from France. You were getting a focus on the child, and that's, I think, where the conversation needs to be going in the United States. Honestly, you know, we haven't really had this conversation in the United States. If you look at the Supreme Court opinions, there's really nothing in them about children and the need of children to be connected with their parents. It's all about adults, and so, you know, the Supreme Court basically treated Prop 8 as if it were a referendum on whether we like gay people. Well, if it's a referendum on whether we like gay people, then fine, but that's not what it was. There was more at stake, much more at stake. And Anthony Kennedy wrote his opinion in the Windsor case as if there was nothing else at stake than whether we like gay people. And that's, I think, what the French have going for them, is that they see very clearly that there are many more issues at stake here than we're willing to talk about here in the United States.
So it sounds like you're saying there has been a deliberate attempt on the part of the advocates for same-sex marriage to narrow the issue down to one thing, and that is, are you for or against us?
Exactly, exactly. Equality, equality, equality. That's the only thing we're allowed to talk about. And what we believe, what we have always believed, is that there's much more at stake in the discussion. The rights of children, the meaning of marriage, the meaning of the human body, whether you know, the meaning of human sexuality, all of those things are in play here, and we're not having meaningful discussions about those topics. And so I think that the strategy going forward here in the United States is that the political and the legal strategies have been hampered by this narrowing of the question all the time. And I think it's very important for advocates of natural marriage to broaden the topic as much as possible and to say, look, it's not just about whether gay people get tax benefits. That's a very, very minor issue. The big issue is, what does it mean to be attached to your own parents, and how important is that to children, and how important is it to children that adults make some kinds of sacrifices for the sake of children? And when you do that, then the whole question of divorce is in play, the question of divorce and remarriage, all the problems that are associated with step families. All of that stuff needs to be confronted and confronted honestly. And you know, truthfully, we haven't really looked at that very honestly. You know, we're still in denial about the sexual revolution that started 40 years ago. You know, nobody really wants to take responsibility for any of that.
Does it also explain the hurry on the part of the advocates for same-sex marriage? Because you've mentioned several times here, as we've discussed this in the last 3-4 months, that there is the information coming out on real people living in these relationships, in particular real children raised in these relationships. It's coming out, and it's not going to prove to be good PR for this experiment.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's right. You know, in other words, the claim that the kids will be fine as long as their parents are happy, that claim has already been tested and found false. You know, we know from divorce that that's not true, you know. And so as the children of same-sex parents develop the courage to speak out, and a lot of them won't speak out for the same reason the children of divorce are reluctant to speak out, you know. They don't want to hurt their parents' feelings. They don't want to cause trouble in the family. You know, they don't want to be blackballed at Thanksgiving time. You know, all of the kind of very complicated dynamics that go on inside of families, of all kinds of families, that make people want to kind of, you know, keep the family secrets. All of that is in play here. And so as more information comes out, the idea that there's no big deal to redefining parenthood, that idea just looks less and less plausible as more information comes out. So it's important for the advocates of redefining marriage to get the institutions in place so that when the information starts to come out, it won't matter anymore. You know, they'll have the institutional structures, or I should say, destructures that they want. And it'll be too late to do anything about it. That's, I think, what their strategy is. Whether they're, and you know, whether they're conscious of it or not conscious of it, you know, I don't want to say they're deliberately doing that, but it's as if they were deliberately doing it. You know what I mean?
You have mentioned several times here taking responsibility for the sexual revolution. The Ruth Institute has a new feature, Divorce Stories. What is it?
Well, yeah, we came up with this because we hear so often of the suffering of children from divorce. You know, every place I go, Todd, people, you know, I'll be in the taxi cab and I'll explain to people what I do, and they'll start telling me their stories about what it was like for them when their parents divorced when they were 8 or whatever it was, or whatever impact it had on their brother, or, you know, all these stories, you know. And it just became clear to me that we have, as a society, kind of a taboo on really telling the truth about that, for all the reasons I just mentioned. And so the Ruth Institute has created a space that is basically a place where anyone can go and tell their story about what it was like for them when their parents divorced, what it's like for them today, what impact it's had on their lives. And so people can come and contribute their stories, talk amongst themselves about this, in an effort to begin at least some kind of healing from some of the chaos that has already been created by the sexual revolution.
Folks, you will find a link to Divorce Stories and to the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about the prophet Ezekiel, in particular the relationship of his book to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. The church remembers Ezekiel on the 21st of July. We'll get a jump on that here on Issues Etc. with Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.